Hello.
Hello, this is Sterling BF at KBOC in Phoenix calling for Joshua Bell.
Yes, hi. It's Joshua here.
Well, hello. It's nice to speak with you again. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time.
Oh, absolutely. The same to you. I understand you've got kind of a busy day, so I'll keep it as short as we can because I'm sure you've got to get on to somebody else. I have to ask, though, I was just looking at your apartment in an article in, I don't know, the New Yorker or something. Are you at home right now?
I am in New York, but I'm actually at down the street at my kid's house. So I have a couple of apartments on the same street where one. So it's kind of a nice little arrangement I got.
So I see it's like single digits there this morning. Insane.
It feels like much worse than that. I don't know if we broke zero. We might have, but it feels like 20 below. Yeah, it's extremely cold. So how is it there in Arizona?
Well, I think you'll like it when you get here. It's 80 today, and it should be in the 70s by then. So.
No way. Okay, great.
Again, I say I know we don't have too long, so I'll start by asking this. How long have you and Sam Haywood worked together now?
Sam Haywood and I have now, this is like our fourth, I think it's our fourth season playing together. So, you know, I think 4 or 5 years we've been playing together, and he was introduced to me by a friend, close friend and chamber music partner, Stephen Isserles, the great cellist who lives in London. And I was looking for a pianist to play with. And he said, you should give Sam a try. So because they had worked together. And he's a wonderful musician, wonderful pianist, and nice guy to travel with. So it's worked out. We're coming to Arizona. It'll be our very first of our tour.
If you found someone to play with and it's worked out for 4 years, it should be pretty pretty exciting for you.
Yeah, it's nice to find someone that you get along with musically. And I mean, I enjoy working with various people. I mean, my last recording with piano was with Jeremy Dink, wonderful, I mean, incredible pianist who's has a very big solo career now. So, and now I've been playing with Sam Haywood, also Alessio Bax, and other pianists. You learn a lot from working with different people. So I do like to work with you know more than one person. But Sam has been someone I worked with a lot. And he's really just such a fine musician, and we're about to start rehearsing our program today. He just flew in from London into New York, and I'm excited about delving into the repertoire, the incredible repertoire on this tour, which includes my absolute favorite violin sonata, the Brahms' first violin sonata. He and I have never played it, so it'll be really fun to start talking about the music and seeing how we mesh with it.
That will be fantastic. About the program, when you look at it at first blush, I always try to think, what was he thinking when he put this program together? And you open with two composers still kind of asserting themselves as to who Beethoven and Grieg will be, and then you end the concert with two guys a little closer to your age now, Brahms and Bartok. How did this come together?
Oh, geez, I never thought about it. I think of Brahms as being always old with a long beard. And I think of myself as being still asserting myself. So that's interesting. It's coming up with a program. It's finding a program that has a good balance, nice variety, but yet somehow connected. I always find, for instance, Beethoven and Brahms are nice to have on the same program because, you know, Brahms is certainly influenced by Beethoven, and sort of his spiritual successor, you might say, but yet these two pieces couldn't be more different in mood. You know, there's Beethoven. We begin the program with the Beethoven, one of his early sonatas, but it's sort of indicative of the Beethoven to come. That the intense intensity that we associate with Beethoven, it just grabs you right off the bat. And the Brahms is probably the most lyrical piece I can think of his and in the repertoire. It's just pure poetry and beauty. So those two are great contrasts. Yet the composers are nice to have together. And as far as Grieg and Bartok, they're both sort of folk inspired, and I see sort of similarity there. And the Grieg is I like having on the program because it's just rarely played. This first sonata of Grieg is I didn't discover the piece, but I recently heard it and played it for the first time. I was amazed how beautiful and well constructed it was. I couldn't understand why it hasn't been played more often. So it's nice to bring to, I think many people in the audience will never have heard the first Grieg sonata. So I always like to do that too.
With the Grieg, is it just too easy to say that it's got a sunny disposition?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it certainly has, on some level, sunny disposition. But there's like all great music, it's never just one thing. And the sun. No offense to Arizona, which I guess does get a lot of sun. The sun doesn't mean as much if you only have sun. I was about to say it. I realized. This is the wrong place to say that, but I'm just teasing. You know, it's you know, Grieg is someone that there's always there's tinges of sentimentality and you might say sadness that you can feel underneath the surface. Certainly, the slow movement has that. It does end the last movement ends with this rambunctious, fun last movement, which really does kind of. I think it's a wonderful way to end the piece, but it's complex and that's really true of all great music. It's never one thing.
It looks like three of these pieces, the Grieg and the Brahms and the Bartok, were all written. It looks like while the composer was on holiday, so there's a summer aspect to it too, I suppose. With the
of course, that's what I had in mind. No, I'm kidding. Thanks for telling me that. I hadn't. Now that you mention it, that does make sense. But yeah, let me think about that for a second. I wasn't aware. You said the Beethoven as well?
You know, I'm not sure. As soon as I said that, I'm not really sure of the Beethoven. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Beethoven took holidays.
Yeah, I was going to.
the you know, for instance, the Brahms has a sunny disposition on some level. Because it's just so beautiful, but for me, I mean, the Brahms, it is his first sonata, but it's got such depth and such melancholy as well. I mean, the last movement, which is sort of he took from one of his songs, it's just full of this melancholy. And at the end, it's one of the most beautiful endings. It doesn't end with a bang, which is why. Sometimes it's not played as often because it doesn't have that, you know, a flashy ending, but it's probably the most beautiful ending of any piece I know. It's when I mentioned the sun, it's sort of like a sunset, and the beauty of it is it always brings tears to my eyes even when I play it, which is unusual. When you play, usually you put all your emotion in the music, you don't feel like you're on the verge of tears ever, but this piece, there's something about it that is so emotional for me.
Well, you mentioned you're there with your family, and are any of your kids show a proclivity for music or the violin specifically?
Well, my oldest, my 7-year-old, plays the cello, and now my twin 5-year-olds are playing violin and piano. So they all love music. They don't always want to practice, but they really do love music. And my 5-year-old pianist is accompanying the others right now, and I can't seem to get him away from the piano. He just like sits there all day and is tinkering at it all day and trying to play the pieces that he's learned in different keys and things like that. It's so sweet to see them approach it sort of like a puzzle, which is the way one of the great appeals of playing an instrument. It is like this great puzzle that you're trying to figure out, and it still is to me, you know. And so it's fun seeing it through the eyes of my kids right now, their discovery of music.
Well, what's nice for us is that you're seeing that, because one of the things that I think those of us who get to enjoy your recordings and to hear you play and just to observe you playing as a busker in the subway or walking up to a young kid is it's just the joy you feel in music. So
music is about joy, and it still is for me. I love playing music more than anything else. So thank you for what you do, bringing music, you know, great music to so many people at KBOC, and thanks for having me on today.
Thanks for this time, Joshua Bell, very much.
Thank you. All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.